This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, a magnificent Friday. I hope you are smiling and ready for the weekend. We certainly are here, but we have some things we have to talk about first. Yes, it is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and there are all kinds of questions from military to marriage to history to politics to Trump to Elon. We are going to discuss the big, beautiful bill because it's all in the news. Trump is yelling about it. There are emails about it. We'll discuss the big, beautiful bill. I'm warning you now to open the show. We are going to discuss probably at length James Comey's death threat and why he did it, because there actually is an explanation for why he did it. Why did he threaten Trump's life? We'll talk about that. All that, so much more, reparations bills. It's going to be a great show tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, as you know, talked about it very briefly last night because I just didn't want to focus on it. James Comey, former head of the FBI, puts out a social media post. I don't know if I want to say calling for the murder of Donald Trump, but I'll use that term, but I don't really fully mean it. I'll explain what I mean in a moment. But he wrote 8647, kill 47, kill Donald Trump. Well, it's been a spicy 24 hours for James Comey. When you wake up in the morning and Tulsi Gabbard is on Fox News calling for your imprisonment, you probably think maybe you screwed up.
Like him, who issued direct threats against the president of the United States, essentially issuing a call to assassinate him, must be held accountable under the law.
Do you believe Comey should be in jail?
I do.
That probably wasn't what James was expecting. In fact, the blowback was so severe, he woke up and posted a lie. A lie that's kind of an apology. Here it was. This is what he said. Quote, I posted earlier a picture of some shells I saw today on a beach walk, which I assumed were a political message. I didn't realize some folks associate those numbers with violence. It never occurred to me. But I oppose violence of any kind. So I took the post down. Now, listen, as big of a worthless loser as James Comey is, he was the head of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The man was involved in prosecutions of the American mafia. James Comey was perfectly aware of what 8647 means. This is a lie, he told. But let's get past all that. Let's get past all that. Why would you do that and think that's okay? Why in the world would you think that is acceptable, not just to see it or like it, but to post it on social media?
Okay.
Well, in order to tell the why, I'm going to tell you two different personal tales that will sound completely unrelated, but it'll come back to it. Ever tell you about the first time I cussed in front of my mother? I try not to curse, but I'm a human being. I drop something on my toe, it's going to happen. I try to not speak in that way. And growing up, I grew up in a household where you didn't speak in that way. It was not allowed in our house. You did not speak in that way, and I didn't do it. My sister didn't do it. Dad, mom, it was not going to fly in our household. You didn't speak in that way. And then eventually I went off to the Marine Corps. You know, I went to a year of college, flunked out of college, went to the United States Marine Corps infantry. And if you weren't in, you can use your imagination how we speak in the Marine Corps. The F word is a second language, okay? It's a second language. It just is. It was part of how it was done. Not defending it. I'm not apologizing for it. It's part of how it was done. And it's, you know, it's not a job. It's your life. all day, every day. So I'm speaking that way all day, every day. One night on the phone, called my mom, or she called me. I forget the circumstance. Now, remember, I'd never uttered a cuss word of any kind. Of any kind. Even the kind of benign ones. I'd never uttered a cuss word in front of my mother. I dropped an F-bomb on the phone with my mother, just casually. You could have heard a pin drop on the phone. She was mortified. I think I was more mortified than she was. As soon as it came out, how could I do that? Why would I do that? You know why I did that? It's very, very difficult once something becomes a daily habit, part of your daily life, part of your casual conversation. It's very difficult. Frankly, it's impossible to keep how you speak from others because it just becomes habit and it just comes out. If you use the F word a lot and you maybe don't want to say it around your kids or don't want to say it around your mom or something like that, guess what? I have terrible news for you. At some point in time, it's going to come out if you speak like that. That is a fact, and that's why I said it. Let me tell you, and we'll get into the why here in a couple minutes, but let me tell you why James Comey thought it was perfectly acceptable to not only talk about murdering Donald Trump, to not only see it and laugh about it, but to post it on social media so everybody can see it. Do you know why? That's how Democrats speak with each other. All of them. And don't think for a second I'm just talking about the street animals. You know, it's not just the LGBTQ nutters or the Black Lives Matter or whatever. High society, low society. I have been at these parties. I have been at these events. I lived around these people for a period of time in my life. It is simply how they talk with each other. I wish someone would kill him. I wish maybe someone will kill him, then we won't have to worry about it. And it's not even always necessarily dead serious. It's not like they're sneering and growling. It's simply cocktail party conversation. Yeah, let's hope Trump dies. Well, maybe someone will shoot him and we'll finally get... It is how they talk. It is casually how they talk. James Comey, since getting fired from the FBI, has become a darling of the left. He runs exclusively in high society left-wing circles. Wherever he's at a book event, at a party, in D.C., in New York, wherever he happens to be, he lives, works, and worships around other Democrats. And when you gather groups of Democrats together in the United States of America, they will casually discuss mass murder or specific murder all the time. All the time. It is how they speak, and I'm about to discuss the why of it's how they think. Why, though? I mean, I realize, I'm not naive. I realize you may make a joke with your friends about throwing commies out of helicopters at some point in time. I realize that. Maybe you'll drop a spicy joke online, but when you get with your friends, you don't discuss murdering Democrats, do you? I'm friends with virtually all Republicans. No heavily political ties, but they're virtually all Republicans, all of them, some more hardcore than others. Whenever we get together, we're getting together again tomorrow. I don't know that we've ever talked like that, even jokingly. Even when Joe Biden was tearing through this country like a hot knife through butter, I don't think, even privately, not by text, not with my friends, not neighbors, I don't believe I ever once said, well, hopefully someone will shoot that jerk. I don't think the thought ever crossed my mind. And I know my friends have never said it. Well, let's just hope he dies soon. Ha ha ha. It doesn't come out. See, look at the look on Chris's face. It doesn't come out in your circles, does it either? It doesn't. Don't talk that way. But why the difference? I'm not going to pretend like the hatred doesn't run both ways. You can't stand these communists. They can't stand you. But why the difference in how we speak? Why, when Democrats get together, will they discuss specific murder, Trump, or mass murder of you, gun owners? Well, we'd get rid of crime if we could kill all the gun owners. Why do they talk like that and you do not? The why, as always, is actually the most important part of this conversation, because the why goes directly into the mentality of our enemies and how they think. And the why, I will discuss it in just a moment. Before we get to that, let me ask you why you haven't switched to Pure Talk yet. I understand that change sounds like a pain in the rear end. Doesn't it sound like a pain to switch up your phone service? No, but who wants to do that? So allow me to explain how this works. They practically give it to you. Here's how it works. You pick up your phone. I know you have Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile. That's fine. You pick up your phone. You dial #250 and you say Jesse Kelly. You will get a hold of Pure Talk and you will get to speak to a pleasant American who speaks English. And they will walk you through everything. And it's not a half hour. You're not going to wait on hold for 15 minutes. 10 minutes. Your phone service is switched over. If they have to send you a new phone, they'll just send it in the mail. You get to keep your phone number. 10 minutes to cut your cell phone bill in half, potentially. My bill got cut in half. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly and switch to Pure Talk. Now, why don't you talk about murdering communists, but they always talk about murdering you? Let's talk about that next.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday, and I will get to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions here in a few. We're discussing James Comey's death threat against Trump, and I just talked about that's how Democrats talk in an average, everyday conversation. They talk about your death, Trump's death, mass death of the right of their political opponents. It's a casual thing for them. Jim Jordan said this.
Well, I think it's Jim Comey trying to get attention. I think President Trump's exactly right. I think James Comey knew what he was doing, knew what it meant. But
of course, Trump was right about this.
He knew exactly what that meant. A child knows what that meant. If you're the FBI director and you don't know.
He's correct. CNN's doing the best they can to try to run cover for him.
It's not clear that. That this is what really this is, right? Jim Comey did respond to us. We reached out to him, and he referred us to a replacement post he put on social media in which he says, I didn't realize some folks associate those numbers with.
Okay, whatever. Why do Democrats talk about your murder all the time? You should see, you know, I tell you, you can email love, hate, death threats. Don't you find that odd? That anybody would email in death threats to a radio show? For a couple different reasons. One, you can change the channel. That's one. Two, you know we can trace that, right? You know every time you email me that I'm going to come cut your head off, that we have to refer that to the FBI and they have your IP address. They're going to just find you right away. You'll be arrested. So it's just dumb. Why is this so common on the left? Why? Okay, second personal story. I told you this once before a long time ago, but when my wife and I got married, we moved into a house. Got married, moved in together, bought a little house. Tucson, Arizona. It was actually Marana, Arizona, right by Tucson. Moved into a little house. And in Tucson, a lot of yards just go with rocks or whatever because it's a desert. It's hard to maintain grass. I really wanted grass, which turned out to be a really expensive mistake because it costs so much to water the freaking thing. But we got grass in the lawn. And I wanted grass in the lawn because we just had a new baby and I wanted my son to be able to crawl around in the lawn. I wanted grass, okay? I wanted grass in the backyard. Get grass in the backyard. Freaking rabbits move in. The rabbits move in and they swarm the place and they're tearing my yard to bits. Now, I grew up hunting. You know I love animals, but I grew up hunting. In fact, rabbit hunting. I used to go with my dad before I could even shoot a gun. I'd bring a toy gun and he'd grab the beagles and we'd go rabbit hunting. So rabbits are rodents to me. And if they're causing you problems, it really doesn't matter the size of the animal. I don't care if it's a giraffe, a rabbit, or an ant. If an animal is causing you problems, destroying your stuff, you kill it. You get rid of it. That's how it's handled. I don't give a crap. Don't send me your emails with your fluffy, I'm never listening again. I don't give a crap, you freak. Go on. Me? Rabbits are tearing up my yard. I kill the rabbits. Rabbits don't mean anything to me. Now, my wife, Aubrey, as you well know, she is an animal-loving freak. Much better now than she was, but I have witnessed her cry when a bird flew out in front of my pickup on the highway and I hit it. There was nothing I could do. Bird flew out there, boom, hit a bird. What? It's a bird, right? Even if you're not celebrating it, no big deal. Devastating for her. To this day, it will gut her if she sees a turtle, anything on the side of the road that's been hit. It really, really bothers her. Genuinely bothers her. So rabbits are in my backyard. What did I do? I'm in a residential neighborhood. Went down to the store, got a pellet gun, started zapping them bad boys right out the back window. Slide open the back window, pow, nailing rabbits. Trying to get them, stop tearing up my yard. I had to stop doing this in front of Aub. She would leave the room. First she asked me to stop, but I wouldn't. But then I would just tell her, hey, baby, you need to leave the room. I got to go kill this rabbit. Now, it meant nothing to me. It meant everything to her. That's why Democrats talk about murdering you all the time. It comes down to how you view human beings, the human soul. That's really what it comes down to. I view human beings as God-breathed individuals, and even the ones I hate, they are made by God. Right? And they have rights. That's why I don't talk about murdering Democrats. That's why I beg you to stay nonviolent. I don't want people hurt. I don't believe in that. That is a human being. That's somebody's mother or brother or son or sister or whatever. It's a human being. Unless they're trying to hurt you, leave them alone. But when you strip that away, when it becomes completely meaningless, when someone's life becomes completely meaningless to you, when there is no God or there's no soul or there's no, when you don't have anything in your moral code against killing a human being, well, if somebody's holding back your political revolution, whatever, for whatever reason, whatever that is, killing them becomes nothing. It becomes the rabbits. You're just a rabbit. You're just a rabbit tearing up the lawn. You're not a sacred human being. You're somebody who's trying to stop them from having abortion. You're somebody who's trying to stop them from getting guns off the street. And if you don't mean anything, if you don't stir them, if the loss of your life doesn't stir them in any way, well, just like me with the rabbits, well, just kill it. Let's go kill it. What's the big deal? I don't understand. Just kill it. That's why they speak that way all the time, and they speak so often about murdering Trump and murdering Republicans. Occasionally, they'll just drop it out there publicly and then have to do some lame excuse. Oh, I didn't know what it meant. Yes, you did know what it means. What you didn't realize is the whole world isn't your Democrat circles, and you can't speak like that publicly. You have to save that for when you're hanging out with your fellow Democrats. Yeah, hope someone kills Trump. That's why. Eye-opening, isn't it? All right. Someone has a question about the big, beautiful bill. Next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and we are about to dig into those Ask Dr. Jesse questions right now. We were just talking about why Democrats talk about your death all the time, casually. It's just nothing for them. It's always discussed. It'd be easier if he just died. Maybe he'd have a heart attack. Hopefully someone will kill him. Well, if those people would just die, it's just second nature for them. Now let's dig into the bill, because
Well, we got this question. Hey, Jesse, just an idea. But wouldn't it be good if Trump and Elon read the big, beautiful bill and remove the garbage that the bill will surely contain? Also, we want more Fred stories. We love the big dummy, too. Okay, so you want Trump and Elon to read the big, beautiful bill and remove the garbage it would contain. Well, I'm just going to level with you right here. And I'm not, by the way, I'm not accusing you who wrote this email of doing this, but this is why I rant endlessly against becoming a fan of man, of anybody, anybody, Trump, any politician, a pastor, a radio host, an athlete. And you can admire people. There can be people you like more than ones you don't. But when you become a fan, for instance, when you turn anybody, including Trump, into a political symbol, and you know why we do that. It's human nature to do that. You want someone to fight for all your hopes and dreams. And so you take those hopes and dreams. Think about them like a big bag. You put all your hopes and dreams in a bag. And what you do is you take them and you hand them to that person. You project them onto that person, even if that person doesn't share your hopes and dreams at all and has no intention of fighting for your hopes and dreams at all, you have still decided, hey, that's my guy fighting for all my stuff. Here's my stuff. Go. Why wouldn't Trump and Elon read the big, beautiful bill and remove the garbage? Trump wants the bill passed. Trump got up today on social media and said this. I'm going to read it verbatim. Now, keep in mind, we talked about this last night before I read it. I told you why Trump wants the bill passed. He made campaign promises like no taxes on tips and stuff like that. Border security, all these things. He essentially has left all the details to the House and the Senate. And you can argue that he should. But he has basically told them, give me a bill that includes my campaign promises, and I don't care what else you put in it. He wants to spike the football on his campaign promises. Well, the House and Senate are full of a bunch of corrupt scumbags, and they threw all kinds of horrendous spending and corruption in this bill on top of a few things Trump wanted in there. And now they're trying to force it through because it's what Trump wants. Trump got up today and he said, Republicans must unite behind the one big, beautiful bill. Not only does it cut taxes for all Americans, it will kick millions of illegals off Medicaid to protect it for those who are the ones in real need. The country will suffer greatly without this legislation. Their taxes will go up 65%. It'll be blamed. You want Trump to read the bill and expose the bad stuff that's in it, but you're projecting your values onto someone who does not share them. When it comes to this bill, when it comes to this particular issue, Donald Trump wants a gigantic wasteful spending bill. He does. And that's what he's campaigning for. In fact, he's already screaming against the Republicans who are torpedoing the thing. You know, the Chip Roys, John Breachin of Oklahoma, Andrew Clyde of Georgia, Ralph Norman, South Carolina. There are some hardcore righties who are saying, man, no, this is a gigantic wasteful spending bill. Others are lining up behind it.
Importantly, this package.
And by the way, remember, as I play these, remember how this works in D.C. Instead of a single subject bill, which I know you want, that's what I want, which they could do. Instead of that, they'll take one thing you like. And then they'll throw 10 corrupt pieces of criminal garbage around that one thing you like. And they'll try to sell the bill as only that. So border security is a great example of this because they do this all the time. They know you want a wall. You want border security. You want more border patrol agents. So they'll take $100 billion for border security. And instead of just having that as a single bill, they say, hold on, I need some good old-fashioned corruption. And they take $100 billion for border security and $100 billion for tranny surgery and $100 billion for this and $100 billion for that and $100 billion for my district and $100 billion for my state. But they don't ever sell the bill as being that. When they go before you, this is how they always try to sell it.
Importantly, this package also invests in what truly matters. It gives our troops a raise. It strengthens our national defense and it secures...
I almost forgot the good old GOP staple. The troops. You're not against the troops, are you? The troops. Oh, here's another one.
We are committed to ensuring that vulnerable Americans are protected, that Medicaid is designed to support, that they get the help they need. Every dollar spent on illegal immigrants and those refusing to work is a dollar not spent on people who need it most.
And another one.
First off, this bill is not about protecting the wealthy. It is about delivering real relief to workers, families, seniors, small businesses. So let's just give you some of the facts. 92% of the people in Ohio's 15th congressional district would see their guaranteed deduction slashed in half.
The United States of America is in a debt disaster. Americans have seen inflation destroy them over the last few years. You can't afford the things you used to afford. And the reason you can't is because Washington, D.C. will not stop spending and printing mass amounts of money. And now, at the 11th hour, the GOP is trying to hold a gun to your head and telling you, we have to pass this wasteful spending bill or else. Why am I constantly having to accept the worst possible filth from Washington, D.C.? Why can Washington, D.C. never, ever, 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 ever give us something clean and wonderful that cuts spending and cuts waste and cuts the criminality? It's always them trying to use some red meat issue as a political shield. Don't you support the troops? I support the troops. Don't you want taxes to go? I want to secure the border. You know what? I love the troops, and I want to secure the border, and I want my taxes to go down. I'll tell you what, why don't you get your little sorry butt back in the meeting and come up with a bill that does just that? You know what? I'll even give you three. I won't even ask for a single issue bill. Why don't you give me three? Send me a bill that supports the troops and cuts taxes and secures the border. A three-issue bill. You won't do that, though, will you? No. You'll go back in your little room with your little vermin friends, and you'll come up with a million different ways you could go back to your district or your state and buy votes with my money so you can stick your greedy freaking fingers in the public treasury and spend this country into bankruptcy. I'm sorry. I do not accept it. I do not accept that that's the way it has to be. I am tired of constantly accepting this Washington, D.C. corruption, and I don't give a crap who it comes from. I don't care if it comes from Donald Trump or this GOP rep or this senator or whatever it is. I don't want another $1 trillion bill full of corruption. And by the way, we're expanding Medicaid. In what universe do we need to expand a government entitlement program when the country is $37 trillion in debt and we can't even afford the interest on the debt? That is insane and stupid, and I'm tired of being told that it's the only thing we can get. That's a lie. It's the only thing we can get because you're a bunch of gutless freaking cowards without the guts to go to the American people and say the money's gone. I'm going to get off this because it's Friday and I was in a good mood and I just got my blood pressure through the roof. I can actually feel my face getting red. If you're watching right now on jessekellyshow.com, you just saw my face get red and I apologize. Whew. Look, I can't believe how calm I am now. What, Chris? What? No, we don't need a heart monitor in here. I'm fine. I'm just tired of constantly being told that I have to accept crap. Why? I've done nothing but accept crap. Why don't you give me something good for once, ever? All right. Here's something good. You don't have to die at the hands of a violent person. That's something good. Told you my mom's in town. She's always out walking, exercising. Guess what mom's carrying with her? First thing I put in her hands. The first thing I put in my mom's hands. A compact launcher from Byrna. Non-lethal, right? The mom's not exactly the best with firearms, but Byrna's launcher, it shoots tear gas rounds or kinetic rounds. It's so small, it's the size of a smartphone. If it's right in her little purse or little pants, it fires at 400 feet per second. You don't even have to be accurate. You shoot the ground in front of somebody. They'll be coughing and snotting and spitting while you go away free and alive. Does your daughter carry something on her that allows her to stop a bad man? She can even fit this in her little fancy purse. It's legal in all 50 states without a permit, without a background check. The Byrna launcher is, look, I believe in it. It's in the hands of the people I love the most. BYRNA. Byrna.com/Jesse. Byrna.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. And as Dr. Jesse Friday, and we're about to tear through a lot of these questions right about now. I will get to this reparation stuff in the next hour. It's really not that big of a deal, but I will get to the reparation stuff and other things. But let's begin, shall we? Hey, Jesse, I've been listening to the Jesse Kelly Show for nearly 4 years now. Dang. The broadcast is flavored with your political insight, humorous personal diversions like within the Kelly household, and a special respect to Medal of Honor recipients. What I want to know is, has there ever been a time when you felt unbearable stress and things slipping away? Brother, everybody's felt that. Every man and woman listening to me has had a moment or multiple moments in their life when they felt like a failure, or they had screwed everything up, or that life was too much and that it was cut. Every single solitary one of them. Every one of them. Man, remember that story I told you about when I quit my job in D.C.? Remember I ran for office twice, lost, moved the family back to D.C. for a year, hated it, and then just quit and decided to go find work, go to a red state. I wanted to get to a red state and find a job somewhere. You know, that was a massive failure, I mean, at least initially. We stopped in, I love the Carolinas, I'm a huge Carolinas fan, the Carolinas, North and South, I love them both. Tennessee, I nerd out on Tennessee, as everybody knows. East Tennessee in particular, I'm in love with it. But whatever, Tennessee, all of them, went through everywhere. Alabama, we got clear to Texas, and we ran out of money. I am a husband and father at this point in time. Both of my boys are under 4 or 5. They're very young. They're very young. Both my boys are young. Maybe under 6, but I have 2 young boys, wife, and I'm sitting in Texas with no money. No money at all. We're in hotels at the time, but we're practically living out of our Honda minivan. What is that minivan called? I forget what it's called, but that Honda minivan. Man, you want to sit up at night and question your decision-making, question your life, and feel like the biggest loser screw-up in the world? Run out of money with your whole family and no job, staying in a hotel. You know, we didn't even have a house. There was nothing. We had nothing. We have all been there. Every single one of us. That's life. Sometimes it just comes at you hard. Sometimes it's your fault. Sometimes it ain't your fault. That's how it goes. Oracle, do you think the reason we haven't seen real arrests or indictments by this DOJ is simply because they want to save it just before the midterms? I hope not. I understand politics is always going to come into play. In fact, I want to talk about something Trump did, which I really like the more I think about it. But politics is always going to come into play when you're dealing with politicians. I get that. It's always going to be at some level about the next election or something like that. But I despise that way of thinking. We have less than 4 years now to arrest government criminals and start to clean these people out. Less than 4 years now. If there is some sort of a Machiavellian political plan to wait until just before the midterms so Democrats look super bad, I think that's garbage. And I don't necessarily think that's what's at play here. I will tell you this, if you want to feel better about something. I spoke to somebody. Well, one, I spoke to Ed Martin yesterday. I interviewed Ed Martin, and I flat out asked him. He's the weaponization czar now under Trump, meaning he's focusing on government weaponization. And I asked him on camera. I said, can you tell me, do you believe there will be government arrests of government people? Is that coming? He emphatically said yes. Yes, it's coming. Yes, it's coming. What, Chris? What? Chris said, isn't that kind of his job? Well, his job isn't to lie. And Ed knows me. And Ed knows that, I mean, I like Ed. I like him a lot.
Ed knows I'll freak out if I'm being lied to. He wouldn't lie to me. Ed's a very good man. Ed Martin's a very, very good man. If he said that, he believes it. Now, maybe it turns out to not be true, but I guarantee you, if he said that, he believes it. It was not even a mealy mouth like you normally get. You've heard me ask congressmen and stuff like that the question where you get them, well, I mean, we're looking at all the options right now. I don't know. We're going to have to send it before the review board. No. It was an emphatic yes. Now, combine that with this second thing. I'm not sure how I can put this, so I will lay it out this way. Somebody, not Ed Martin, extremely high up in our law enforcement institutions. Somebody extremely high up in our law enforcement institutions told me yesterday, no details, so don't think I'm holding out details on you. This time I'm not. If I knew something and couldn't tell you, I would tell you that. This time I'm not. But so all he told me was, stay tuned. I'm telling you right now, there are some big, really great things coming. And the conversation we were having was about cleaning out the filth, cleaning out the corruption. I think maybe they're taking their time to get their ducks in a row, and they're getting ready to do it. Now, as I've told you a million times before, that doesn't mean you should back off. They should wake up every day and feel pressure from you to move faster and do more. Move faster, do more. What, Chris? What? Chris said, do I think we're going to get some Republicans in that net? I hope so. Corrupt scumbags? I hope so. If the Republicans are swindling stuff, I hope they get robbed. I hope they get arrested. I'm done with corruption on all sides. I'm not being a, don't expect me to ever be a team player, because I'm not. I'm here on behalf of the country. I am here on behalf of the United States of America. And if there are criminals inside of our government committing crimes with the positions of power they've been given, I don't care what their political party is. Throw them in a dark hole. Throw them in Alcatraz. I'm glad Trump's opening it back up. All right. I will say something I am happy about Trump doing. I'll get to that in just a moment. Before we get to that, I want to get to this. Pain sucks. It just sucks. And then, you know, they say, you know, getting old ain't for the weak, because parts of your body stop working like they used to. You wake up one day and your freaking back hurts. Your neck hurts. It sucks. It does. But we think we have to live with a lot more pain than we do. Relief Factor can take pain out of your life. Not mask it. I'm not talking about masking it. We have to stop with that. This is 100% drug-free. It is a supplement. You take it every single day. Not just when it hurts, you take it every single day. It builds up in your body, and it gives your body the support it needs to get rid of that inflammation. That knee pain might disappear, or at least be turned way down. Your back pain, your foot, try it for 3 weeks. If you don't see results, don't order anymore. It's one order. ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.